In 1947, we'll come up to the 1950s, Aleister Crowley, the man who developed the do what thou wilt, just do what you want to do, that mantra or creed for Satanism, just do what you want to do, he dies in 1947, but his Satanism lives on and becomes immortalized. He said his satanic philosophy, do what thou wilt, combined with the accentuated driving beats of the new music, wreaks havoc on the morals of America and the world. Keep in mind, what happened in America after World War II, materialism started. People could buy brick homes for very inexpensive. The factories that were used to make tanks and ammunitions started being used to make textiles. And there was a lot of changes in America happening right after World War II. Aleister Crowley dies. 1950 comes along. Rock and roll developed from southern blues with a strong back beat. So we've watched how it's developed from the blues, rhythm and blues, jazz, and finally 1950 hits with rock and roll. Alan Freed was a radio man, and he is the first person and the person that coined the term rock and roll, and it comes from the immorality that teenagers were doing in their parents' cars. And so he is the first one to describe rhythm and blues as rock and roll, and it is an immoral term. 1954, Bill Haley and the Comets. They began to write hitting, quote-unquote, hit songs. For the first time, a white band was using black-derived forms, and they ventured, this is the start of rock and roll. And so when you hear things like, okay, go ahead.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock,
now see, a lot of people will say, oh, but that's from the 50s. That's the old stuff. That is the voodoo beat. That is the syncopated rhythm that removes, I don't justify and say, oh, that was from the 50s, that's fine. It's that same beat removes the frontal cortex, and now everything goes into the subconscious unfiltered. Bill Haley and the Comets were the first white band to quote-unquote do that, and the development of rock and roll. Little Richard, if you've never heard of him, he said, my true belief about rock, if you don't know who that is, he was one of the first rock and roll musicians in the 50s, Tutti Frutti, all Rudy, okay, that stuff, okay. He said, my true belief about rock and roll is this, I believe this kind of music is demonic. That's from a rock musician himself. He said, a lot of beats in music today are taken from voodoo, from the voodoo drums. If you study music and rhythms like I have, you'll see that this is true. A man went to college, not him. He went to college. He was a black man from Africa, and he came over here to the States, started going to college. He was studying music, and he was kicked out of the college for the voodoo drumming and the bad beat. He then hears a song. He then goes back to the college about 10 years later. This is the college that he's been kicked out of. And they're playing music. And this is what he said. That music comes from my home country. That's voodoo music. This is 1955, right around here. This is what he heard. Go ahead.
So baby, won't you hurry?
That's what he heard. That's what he said. That is voodoo music. That's what they expelled me from college for. We look at that, we think, well, jazz with some drums. He heard the same beat that was occultic, and he heard it, and he said, that isn't right. A VH1 documentary, they said it was through Bill Haley's innocent looks that rock music was able to slip through the parental radar like a Trojan horse. And because, in other words, because whites were playing it, it must be okay, and Bill Haley looks innocent. Rock was popular with teens wanting to break out of the conservative American mold. It represented decadent. It was dangerous. It was an immoral music, and it was called obscene. But we look at it, and we go, oh, that was the 50s. And it's amazing how many people will justify, oh, that's music from the 50s. Yeah, those are oldies, but what? Goldies. Yet back then in the day, it was immoral, wrong music. It was moral, and it was immoral, it was wrong. Memphis Beat, in this book, Larry Nager says the author talks of a part of Memphis that was involved in immorality, Mill Street. This is where the houses of prostitution, the taverns, and the gambling places were. He states that there was always a certain type of music at Mill Street. And this is what he says. The forbidden pleasures of Mill Street always, always came wrapped in the pulsing rhythm of the blues. Why? Because you remove the frontal cortex, then you do whatever you feel like doing. And Aleister Crowley's mantra of Satanism, just do what you want to do. Just do what you want to do. B.B. King, he said, he's famous bluesman, he said the women reacted with their bodies flowing to the rhythm, coming out of my guitar. I'm not going to play one of those tonight. Elvis Presley then comes on the scene. He became the leading figure of the new loved sound of rock and roll. So Bill Haley in the comments introduce it. Elvis takes it to a different level, and his suggestive stage antics made him enormously popular and controversial. He brought together country music, pop music, and rhythm and blues in a way that had not been done before. You see how to do that. At Elvis's live shows, the influence on the audience became increasingly fevered. Before Elvis, the piano was the center piece of music. Now, it may have been played, whether it was in jazz, it may have been played the wrong way. When Elvis comes along, he transfers the lead instrument from the piano to the guitar. Reports stated he'd start out with "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog," then the crowd would go to pieces, and watch this. They'd always react the same way. They said at every Elvis concert there would be a riot every time. That's how he started his concerts with. We'll just play a little short.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
That song, the beat, removed the frontal cortex, and then the teenagers, and then a riot would break out. You don't hear that part of it. I think Elvis was a filthy person. I don't care to hear him sing Amazing Grace. The man bragged with being with over 1,000 women. It's about as immoral as it gets. No, I don't want to hear anybody like that sing a Christian song. I think that's disgusting. Elvis Presley, more than anyone else, Elvis gave the young people belief in themselves as a distinct and somehow unified generation. For the first time in America ever, to feel the power of an integrated youth culture. He was a lot like Steve Jobs with Apple. Steve Jobs didn't create an iPhone, he created a culture with Starbucks and things like that. Elvis didn't just create his music, he created a culture. And that was the power behind what he was doing, obviously. And what was his mantra? Do what thou wilt. Which came from Aleister Crowley. That's what his music said. Then the 60s come along, and the movement away from the conservative state of America continued. Then drugs became a major part of white suburban life for the very first time. Normally, drugs were something that was done, you know, in poor areas and things. The drug experience, coupled with a new political awareness, helped create an underground youth movement in the 60s. Youth now turned their thoughts more away from Jesus and opened themselves up to other Eastern spiritualistic ideas. Others opened up towards New Age ideas like astrology and ESP, extrasensory perception, and then ultimately Satanism was on the rise. And this is in the 60s. Aleister Crowley, yes, he died in 1947. He was also thought of as the father of the hippie counterculture movement. He was considered the unsung hero of the 1960s, even though he had died 13 years ago. He was deep into shamanism, all right, which is occultic, obviously. He taught that this satanic doctrine, do what thou wilt, should be cloaked under the lie of love. You know, so what were the hippies doing? Love, man, you know? And then, you know, the Beatles, all you need is love, you know, all that stuff. And love was the theme. If you can talk about love, then you can get a whole bunch of other filth across under that name. He believed the youth would fall for it. At the end of the 50s, Elvis is drafted. Rock music starts to go down a little bit. It didn't die, but it started going down. And then the 60s started happening, and the Beatles hit the scene. Beatlemania and a new resurrection in rock and roll. The Beatles are very landmarking when it comes to America. One of the most successful acts in history emerged as Beatlemania. They quickly transformed, though, and came to be perceived as the embodiment of progressive ideals. Their influence extended into the social and cultural revolutions of the day. Their rebellion against establishments and authority, especially Christian, was of enormous influence. Their first song, as far as what they hit number one with, it seemed simple, but it went something like, I Want to Hold Your Hand. That's the name of the song. You hear the beat go? Okay. Do What Thou Wilt starts taking place in the 60s. We'll decide what goes on. What we do, what we smoke, what we listen to, we'll decide how we dress. Nobody's going to tell us how to dress. How we talk, how we act, where we go. Just do what thou wilt changes into do your own thing. All right, do your own thing. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club. This is the Beatles coming out with this album, and they wanted to put all of their heroes on this. This is a collage of their heroes. You'll notice one of the faces right there is Aleister Crowley. They put him in the back, and they wanted to put Hitler on it. When the cover came out, the media said, if you put Hitler on it, you know, World War II was just probably, I think, 15 years before this. They said, if you do that, that might affect sales. So they took Hitler's thing off of the cover. But the Beatles were very wicked people. No, I don't like listening to them. Most believe that Sgt. Pepper is a reference to Aleister Crowley himself. All right. The book, The Beatles and Their Generation. They state, Christianity will go. It'll shrink and vanish. I will be proved right. You just wait. We are more powerful now than Jesus ever was. John Lennon said that. That's 1966. The Beatles press secretary, he said the Beatles are completely antichrist. I mean, I am antichrist as well, but they are so antichrist they shock me, which is not an easy thing. That's their press secretary. They were wicked people. It was through the influence of the Beatles that millions of youth around the world were almost overnight turned away from Christ and to the gurus of the East. You say, are you sure? In the late 60s and early 70s, Guru Maharishi Mahesh Yogi achieved fame as the guru to the Beatles. He toured with them and he was given time during their concerts to indoctrinate. It was reported that millions of people began to study the teachings of the Maharishi because as Beatlemania grew, so did Yogi, which is New Age. Before the Beatles, Indian spirituality from India was not an everyday part of our Western culture. Through the hippies, following the Beatles, yoga and meditation became a new fad. Now we have yoga on every corner. There was nothing anything like this until the 60s when they came along. Yoga is actually a word that means to yoke and speaks of yoking with pagan gods. I've seen yoga where you do the stretches and stuff. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about the emptying of the mind, the making yourself open to possession. That type of yoga is bad. Do you understand? But that's the type of yoga. Quiet yourself down. You need to go to yoga class and get rid of some stress. A Christian shouldn't have anything to do with yoga. It's Mideastern, it's New Age, it's from India, it's Hinduism, it's garbage. John Lennon shared his experience. He said, I felt like a hollow temple filled with many spirits. He's saying he's possessed. Each one passing through me, each inhabiting me for a little time and then leaving to be replaced by another spirit. Talking on the writing of his songs, he said, I don't know who wrote it. I'm just sitting and the whole song comes out. It's called ghostwriting. It's called automation. It's where demons write through people. It's a horrible thing. He plainly admits it. John Lennon, ghostwriting or demons writing through you. Led Zeppelin's guitarist and lead singer described the way they wrote Stairway to Heaven. Jimmy Page just said, you know, we were both sitting there. He said, and I started writing and the words just started appearing on the paper. That's demonic. Both of those are avowed Satanists. I'm amazed how many Christians like the song Stairway to Heaven. It's a vile song filled with a lot of double meanings. Keith Richards, here's another example of the Rolling Stones. He shared how he received songs. This is all in the 60s, supernaturally. He said, songs, yeah, they think you wrote it, but really you're just a medium, like being at a seance. They just plop out of the air. He said, whole songs just come to you and you don't write. Songs come to me en masse. And he said, I don't do anything except to happen to have been awake when it arrived. He's saying demons give him the song. There are so many groups, I'm not going to go through all of them, but all of them talk about, I get my songs from satanic influence or demons. This is back in the 60s. Jim Morrison, he was a self-proclaimed shaman, known for his exploration of mysticism through his lyrics. He too said he received songs en masse. He would just see the whole concert in his head and just write the words to the songs. Jim Morris was very cultic. What's sad is, you know, these people, when they die, they're in hell. That's sad. He's dead. He died of drug overdose. So many of them died that way. Crowley's been an influence for a string of popular musicians. Some of the other artists who openly admit to Aleister Crowley's influence is going to be Iron Maiden, Led Zeppelin, mention them, David Bowie, he just died last year, Sammy Davis Jr., Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones, Sting, Ozzy Osbourne, and it just goes on. John Lennon shared of his experience, he later said, "I sold my soul to the devil." They had to get success. Remember, Satan said, "I can give any of these kingdoms to all who what? Worship me. They're mine to give whoever I want." He is the small g god of this world. You don't make it in the fame, in the music industry, in the Hollywood industry. You don't make it in the world without Satan giving you that authority. Comes on the scene Anton LaVey. Doesn't he look like a blessing? Doesn't he look like he woke up on the right side of the bed? He picked up Crowley's torch and established the official Church of Satan. He wrote the Satanic Bible that Zondervan sells. Isn't that a blessing? LaVey promoted a lifestyle of self-indulgence. Self-indulgence. Do what you want. He stated desires were meant to be fulfilled. Isn't that interesting? There's so much truth behind what is true Satanism. Satan doesn't want you walking around in a hood. He just wants you to do whatever you want to do. But the Christian life is opposite of that, right? Take up your cross and deny yourself. Whoever is willing to deny themselves, Jesus said, they can be my disciples, not those who do whatever. It's the exact opposite. When do we sin? When we go everyone our own way. When we do what we want to do. Dangerous words I hear a Christian say is, "I'm just doing what I want to do." You're not supposed to. You're supposed to do what God wants you to do. That's what's supposed to be happening. But in this humanistic society that we live in, I just do what I want to do. Could call it Christian Satanism. Here, John Lennon shared of his experience. In another interview later in his life, Lennon said the whole Beatle idea was to do what you want, do what thou willst. And he's quoting Aleister Crowley. Okay, next, Timothy Leary. This is a Harvard professor and Crowley follower. He's reverend to the Beatles as the four. He referred to the Beatles as the four evangelists, and he stated that rock music was as much a deconditioner as psychedelic drugs. He said, it is designed, rock music is designed to blow your mind and suspend your conditioned reflexes. In other words, whatever you've been taught, lying is wrong, sex outside of marriage is wrong, sex outside of marriage is wrong, don't ever do it, go to the altar a virgin, be pure, whatever you've been conditioned to do. He said, the rock music is designed to remove your conditioned responses, what you've been taught. And that doesn't really mean a whole lot until you learn what he did. He used government funding to experiment with LSD. He is the LSD guy. Now, he didn't do it, but as far as he used government grants and funding in the 60s to the mind-blowing drug where sometimes people go out and they never come back, bad stuff. When he makes this statement that rock music is designed to blow your mind and suspend your conditioned reflexes, listening to a Beatle album is an hour of deconditioning. That's coming from the LSD guy. That is a very powerful statement coming from him. Next, something else Leary said. He said, don't listen to the words. He said, it's the music that has its own message. Remember a couple of weeks ago we said, so what's important? If you put Christian words with bad music, does that clean it up? He said, the words have pfft. He said, what gets to your mind is the music. What gets to your mind is the music. The Beatles went from I Want to Hold Your Hand to 1969, this song. And listen, well, just about 5 seconds, listen how far they came from it. That's voodoo music. It doesn't get any worse than that. You say, but it's not loud. That was Come Together. Oh, that's 60s stuff. It's evil. They came a long ways because of their Hindu and their demonic influence, obviously, and giving themselves over. The Rolling Stones, while with the Beatles, the satanic ideologies were more hidden within the music, the Stones stand was not as difficult to figure out. They come out with a song, Sympathy for the Devil, I Don't Want to Play It. It came out in 1968. You know, what you start learning is as you look at music in the 60s, it was all coded. Like the Beatles wrote, you know, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. They were writing about LSD, drugs. But they coded it. Now in the 2000s, they quit coding it about 20 years ago. Now they just sing about the filth and the homosexuality and the drugs and the murder and the rap music. I mean, it's filth now. But back in the 60s, they were coding it. They were hiding it, per se. They quit hiding it. They've come a long way. Crowley's Do What Thou Wilt is the whole of the law, is the Church of Satan's official philosophy and doctrine. Anton LaVey says, let's get them to a place where they forget their logic, the frontal part of your mind, and just do what thou wilt. Doesn't he look like a blessing? Frank Zappa, he was called a musical genius, and he said, I realized that this music got through to the youngsters because the big beat matched the great rhythms of the body, and I further knew that they would carry this with them for the rest of their lives. The way in which sound affects the human organisms are myriad and subtle. The loud sounds and bright lights of today's are tremendous indoctrinational tools. He had the Peabody Music Conservatory, and he taught musicians. One of the men that taught me about music learned under him. He's called a musical genius. He died, I think, in 94 or something like that. But anyways, he said, Frank Zappa said, give me control. He said, I know exactly what I'm doing with music. Give me control of everything that goes into your ears for 6 months, and I'll make you a homosexual. He said, when we hit chords, he said, I know exactly what the vibrations are doing to your body and your brain. And he had people going into his school straight and coming out homosexual. He said, I can make you a homosexual by the music that you listen to. He's a scary person to me. Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven. It comes out, I think, in 71. It's the most requested rock song of all time. It was hailed as one of the greatest satanic works ever. Robert Plant said he was given the song once again by automation. The words just started appearing. Backmasking. Aleister Crowley said in his book Magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, in 1913, he said, Satanist practices talking backwards and walking backwards, and this carried over into rock music. The Beatles were the first one to do it. Rolling Stones did it in Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. When you play it backwards, it's very obvious. You'll hear them say, here's to my sweet Satan. He'll give you 666. Deep Purple, when they played one of those songs back, I couldn't believe the filth that came. I couldn't even mention it. It was that bad. But they were playing that backwards. Queen, when the Queen came out in 1981 or something with Another One Bites the Dust, when they would play that song backwards, it was saying, it's fun to smoke marijuana. It's fun to smoke marijuana. And it just said it over and over again. Slayer comes out with a song, Hell Awaits. And then when you play it backwards, you just hear the words, join us. Join us. Join this thing called backmasking. Somebody said, oh, that's not real. It has continued through the 2000s. It is so much in the music nowadays. All rock music. All rock. The more satanic it is, the more backmasking is involved in it when they play it backwards. Then the Beach Boys, oh, that's beach music. That's fun. Watch this. When the Beach Boys were in the 60s, Brian Wilson, who is considered the musical genius behind the Beach Boys, watch what he said. He said, we were trying to do witchcraft music. We were trying to do witchcraft music. These are evil people, but these are quote-unquote big names in the music world. He said that back in 1994. The Beach Boys would take the same shaman as the Beatles to indoctrinate the crowds during and after their concerts. There's pictures with a yogi guy. Brian Wilson claimed later that he believed himself to be possessed. Many of the radical ideas of the 60s, we'll get into the 70s here, gained wider and acceptance in the new decade and were mainstreamed into American life and culture. The blatant rejection of Christ was obvious, and the deceptive philosophy of the devil had taken root. John Denver, he said this, rock music is a greater influence over the souls of men than primitive Christianity. How come? The beats. It shuts the mind down. He's a country music person. He was a musical person, but these are musical people talking. Watch this. Mikey Hart, drummer for the Grateful Dead. This is I heard something from him a long time ago, and when I found out, I knew he was into the occultic, but he studied drums and their power all over the world. He's known and respected expert drums, okay? He states, everywhere you look on the planet, people are using drums to alter consciousness. I have discovered, along with many others, the extraordinary power of music, particularly percussion, to influence the human mind and body. He said, there have been many times that I have felt that the drums have carried me to an open door to another world. It's hard to pinpoint the exact moment when I awoke to the fact that my music, my tradition, rock and roll, did have a spirit side, that there was a branch of the family that maintained the ancient connection between the drums and the gods or the demons. That's a drumming expert. According to Timothy Leary, remember the LSD guy? Okay. The 60s were what he called a revelation of the glory of what Aleister Crowley had started, and that is the do what thou wilt. It's a satanic doctrine. That's where it actually started getting a root in American society. You say, what happened in the 60s? Suicide rose 400%. Unwed couples living together rose 536%. Pregnancy among girls 10 to 14 rose 553%. Prior to 1960, there were only two STDs, or sexually transmitted diseases. Today, there's more than 25. It really did affect our society in a bad way. In a bad way. And violent crimes rose 995%. Satan worked heavily through the hippie age of the 60s and the 70s, bell bottoms and all that stuff, slipping in destructive teaching, undermining traditional moral values under the cloak of a supposed anti-materialistic peace movement, you know, promising a higher spiritual place through the same voodoo practices of sex, drugs, and music known as rock and roll. Christian contemporary music, they start dabbling in it. And I'm not going to play any of it for you, but in the early 70s, Chuck Gerard came out with, 1978, Chuck Gerard came out with Rock and Roll Preacher, and the CCM has not started gathering, but this is the seeds of it. Paul Simon, great druggy, you know, bridge over troubled water, in case you know any of his filth, don't, but he's from the 60s. He writes the song, Loves Me Like a Rock. And it's amazing how many Christians think that that's actually Christian. It's from 1978 also. So Christian contemporary music starts coming on the sign. In other words, using rock music with Christian quote-unquote words. And then the 80s come along. The music in the early 80s was in a state of flux, all right, kind of fluid. The music of Elvis, the Beatles, the Doors, Ozzy Osbourne was all known under the same name, rock and roll, even though the styles of their music were very different. And so it starts to take different branches in the 80s. By the time the 80s hit, disco was established and rock was splintered into more defined categories. Soft rock, hard rock, pop rock, country rock. Man, soft rock. Have you ever been hit in the head with a soft rock? Oh, I don't listen to hard rock. I listen to soft rock. Well, if it hits you in the head, it does the same thing. Okay, that was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. Okay, the root of all these genres at the core is still the same thing. Rock and roll, originally rhythm and blues, or rhythm and blues that came from jazz. It's the same thing, same driving beat. High tech and the low frequencies. DJ Lauren Acca, Bass Nectar, represents the wave of DJ success. In the 80s, you have MTV, music videos. Dance, disco takes hold, and the contemporary Christian music booms with Amy Grant. That's when I was a teenager. I remember when that stuff started happening. So now we're into the 80s. But what did they say about MTV? The strongest appeal you can make is emotionally. If you can get their emotions going, make them forget their logic, you've got them. Watch this. At MTV, we don't shoot for the 14-year-olds. We own them. They said if you can visually get them seeing it and hearing it, it's poisoned a major generation. MTV, I think, is very wicked. They're very wicked people. In the 80s, Madonna comes out. She's notably one of the artists found immense popularity starting in the 80s by pushing the sensual boundaries in the mainstream music and with provocative imagery in her videos. Very filthy. She was just, you know, she just spoke last week, said she wanted to blow up the White House. Isn't that amazing? Folks, if you on your phone, if you say the word in a sentence, assassinate and president, did you know they hear everything that you talk about on your phone? Since the Patriot Act, 9/11? And the key words are targeted. If you say that, I don't want to assassinate the president. It picks it up. They listen to it. You're going to get a visit from the FBI. Do you understand that? How can she say that on national TV? I want to blow up the White House. I think Madonna personally ought to. Nasty people. Nasty people. Anyways, just shows who's for Clinton and that. Just as the 60s and 70s had adopted the philosophy, do what thou wilt, now the slogan comes, do your own thing. The 80s turned it just a little bit, and they said, live and let live. Rock music is getting worse now. Okay, we're in the 80s. In an interview, she shared, I'm a tormented person. I have a lot of demons inside of me. My pain is as big as my joy. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Just, they're open about the possession. They used to hide it. Now they're just, yeah, I'm possessed. Michael Jackson, known as the King of Pop, suffered under the bondage of Satan's lies as well, though he publicly claimed to have no involvement with the occult. He claimed to be a Jehovah's Witness. He said he tithed to the watchtower. Isn't that sad? He's in hell today. Isn't that sad? He said here his life was shadowed by the darkness that only comes from the enemy Satan. Unfortunately, what the devil started to do in the 80s was mask the occult in more acceptable forms of terminology. For instance, the most polyrhythmic music that you can listen to is Michael Jackson. He set a new thing, you know, for the things that shut your brain off. Michael Jackson is nasty stuff. Aleister Crowley had a secret room with mirrors where he practices black magic and contacted demonic beings. Watch what Michael Jackson said. He said, I have my own secret room with a moving wall and mirrors. That's where I talk to Lee. That's his demon, Liberace. He said, his is the voice I hear in there. I feel his presence so very close to me. He was open about his demons. He said, I'm possessed. He said, I go into my room with mirrors and that's where I hear it. He's a nasty individual. Alter egos. Now we're dealing with people talking about alter egos. So if they're on stage like Beyonce, she blames it on Sasha. Oh, that wasn't me on stage doing all that nasty stuff. Isn't that convenient? So it wasn't you, it was somebody else. Now all of the rock people and the people in the media are starting to talk about alter egos. They're talking about demons that are in them. Madonna named hers Dita, and then later she named it Esther. Prince's said Camille is his person that performs. He said, I don't even know the gender of Camille, if he's male or female. He said, I don't even know. Gross. All right. Britney Spears, her alter ego is Mona Lisa. Christina Aguilera, her alter ego is Xtina. Eminem is Slim Shady. And Taylor Swift said her alter ego is Catastrophe. These are all things that are saying, oh, that's not me on stage doing that. That was horrible what you did. It wasn't me doing it. It was my alter ego. It was the person I gave myself for. It was my demon. That's sad. Now they're getting very open about it. Okay? Now it's getting very open. In the 1940s, the biggest problem in schools was running in the hallways, tardiness, spitwads in class, missing the garbage can, and chewing gum. In the 1980s, murder, theft, rape, drugs, and alcohol. They come a long way, haven't they, baby? Come a long way. Come a long way, and it's all because of how the music has influenced our culture. Next, 90s, the band of the decade is Nirvana. Kurt Cobain, filthy people, but he's the lead singer of Nirvana. He said it was his personal goal to get stoned and worship Satan. Nasty people, and yeah, we had a music thing. I don't want to listen to it, but it's reported that he was obsessed with Anton LaVey. Okay, this is now we're in the 90s. Next, these are the music samples. Okay. Then Marilyn Manson comes on in the 1990s. I don't know if anyone has really understood what we're trying to do to lure people in. Once we've got them, we can give them our message. He said, hopefully, I'll be remembered as the person who brought an end to Christianity. These are nasty, God-hating people. The rock music culture, do you see where it's going from the 60s? See how it started with the rock and roll? And now it's huge. Reason, Marilyn Manson said music is the strongest form of magic. And there's the Pied Piper, picture of leading the children, Pied Piper of Hamelin. Why am I showing you this? It would help if you understand, when we go soul winning, well, I think of America that I grew up in, and I'm raising my kids differently than I was raised. And the America that we're growing up in, when we go soul winning and we pass out tracts, and I'm amazed at how hard it is for people to come to church. I'm amazed at how this generation, I mean, it's got to be easy, it's got to be, but you understand, I'm talking now society as a whole. It just helps us to know, Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And it just helps to understand, the world is not getting better, it's getting worse. You understand? And until Jesus comes, we're still, praise God, we're still supposed to be leading people to Christ. In the 60s, he was pushing the limits. Christian standards openly were opposed. Sex and drugs were heavily encouraged. Then you come to the 70s. Eastern mysticism and the occult ideas heavily promote anti-government, anti-war, anti-Christ is advocated. Hippie counterculture of free love in the 70s. It's in full bloom. Then the 80s. Pushing away from absolute truth, Christian boundaries intensely pushed down, dancing is flourishing, lyrics are overtly more sexual, they're not trying to hide it anymore. Then you come to the 90s and it's an open assault on anything that's moral, uncouth. Immoral activities are vividly portrayed. Christians struggle with constant satanic influences. Come to the 2000s. There's Marilyn Manson, and I think that's Christina Aguilera, whatever. Some, praise God for the square. Amen. They're nasty people. They're nasty people. Growing interest. Now the interest in the occult and Satanism. What once was rebellion and immoral is now acceptable. And in the 2000s, sexual and homosexual imagery is everywhere. Let's end this with this. 1 Timothy 4:1, God says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If it was ever in our society, it's in now. I'm so glad God's still in the soul-saving business. God's still saving souls. God's still changing lives. And couple more verses here. Watch this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. This is 2 Timothy 3. For men shall be, what? Lovers of their own selves. Just do what you want. Has hedonism or living for pleasure ever been at a higher height? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, kids killing their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, false despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Me time. It's all about me. I gotta have my time. Have you ever seen as selfishness as our society is built? It's getting more and more humanism. I'm my own God. I do what I want to do. That's Satanism. That's Satanism. That's why we're we're at. Let me leave you with this. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In studying all this, it has answered some of my questions. It causes me to pray. It causes me to weep when I pray. I look at this generation. I look at the young people. Watch them come out of the public schools. They're zombies. They're wearing stuff to school we wouldn't have thought of wearing to school. I remember one kid tried to wear shorts to school, and they were like, he got expelled. That's when he was in the fifth grade. Now they look like everything coming up. You could describe it in many ways. And that the schools are producing society, and that thinking, they're feeding our society. As things get bad, what encourages you? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And in this darkness, God's still working. God's still changing God's lives. God's still moving. And I'm looking for that one. Amen. I'm going soul winning Saturday. I'm looking for that one. I'm not looking, oh, get that track out of here. I'm looking for that one that's wanting God. I'm sick of this. There's some married couples out there with kids. They've been lied to. They're watching their marriages go down the tubes. They're tired of being lied to. And they're like, dear God, there's got to be something more than this. I'm looking for that one. I'm looking for that one. Because where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. We serve a wonderful God. This is the end of the history of rock music. Next week will be the last one, and I'm going to show you very quickly the history of CCM. It starts nasty and gets to present day CCM. Describe it to you. We're not going to stay on it forever. I hope this has been a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please use this tonight.